everyone. This is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am so glad you are back with me, and I am back with Gingy, as you might have heard in Monday's episode. That's our sweet nickname for her. Ginger Hubbard is with us. And if you are not familiar with Ginger and you've never listened to her podcast or read her books, you guys have to check them out. She has so many great resources. Like, she's my parenting go-to. I mean, the Bible, of course, is ultimately, but Ginger is so good at pointing me as a mom back to scripture. And this is what the word of God says. And so let's do it this way. And she is just so wise. God has really gifted her with the ability to encourage parents as we raise up this next generation in this crazy, insane world in which we're living. And so we are forever grateful for her ministry. It has really changed our parenting and really helped guide us in our 18 plus years of being parents. So Ginger, thank you for all that you do and for being back with me today.
Well, it's always good to be with you, Yvette, and I've actually learned a lot from you too. Aww. So we could go on and on about all that, but we want to encourage parents, don't we?
Yes. Yep. And that's what we're going to do. But before we do, I want to say thank you to our sponsor again, BJU Press Homeschool. If you guys are looking for a great, solid biblical worldview curriculum for your kids for any grade, any subject, check them out at bjupresshomeschool.com. They will equip you for a successful homeschool journey and have crafted their curriculum to give you the tools you need, rooted in the solid biblical foundation you want. BJU Press Homeschool will encourage a love of learning to help your child develop a biblical worldview, and they'll be with you every step of the way. They are so grateful to be part of your homeschool journey. So visit them at bjupresshomeschool.com. That's bjupresshomeschool.com. Well, Ginger, we're back. Let's continue talking through some parenting mistakes we've made or that sometimes we make as parents. We talked about bribing, we talked about threatening, repeating instructions, and appealing to emotions. And I know you have a couple more that you touched on. You said you have six. So I think we've covered four. Mm-hmm. What are the last two that you've noticed?
Okay. So number five is actually my personal favorite, as common worldly methods go, faulty child training methods go, because it's actually what inspired the title of my first parenting book, Don't Make Me Count to Three. There, obviously, I'm not promoting counting to three. There are those parents out there, certainly not us, but we see them all around us, who say, if you don't do this, by the time I count to three, you're going to get it. And then they start their count. And sometimes, Yvette, they even hold up three fingers as if that's going to give some, extra incentive there. And then they'll start their count. You know, they say one, the child doesn't move. Two, child still doesn't move. Two and a half, you know, and so it goes. But here's the thing, children will rise to the standard that the parents set. If you don't expect your child to obey until you count to three, well, he's probably not going to obey until you start counting. So why not expect instant obedience? Mm-hmm. This leaves no room for question or confusion. It is so much easier. It is so much more peaceful, and it's definitely more biblical. And you know what? If my small child is about to step off the curb into a busy street, I don't want to have to count to three before he obeys.
Yeah.
So all that to say that training our children to quickly obey, really, that should be the standard. So we need to be aware of these things that we're talking about today, like bribing and threatening and repeating our instructions two or three times, raising our voices, giving them to the count of three, because those things really draw us away from teaching our children to instantly and completely obey in a way that pleases God. And, you know, let me just add that we're responsible for the habits of our children. When we count to three, you know, this is with little kids. When we count to three, we cause our children to get into the habit of delayed obedience.
Yeah.
And delayed obedience is disobedience. What counting to three does is it encourages them to put off obeying until absolutely necessary. But we want our children to view obedience as their best option, not a choice that's to be put off until the very last minute.
Yeah.
Our ultimate goal too with our children is to, encourage them and teach them to love and obey Jesus, who is their ultimate authority. So while they're young and in our home, we have this great opportunity to help them get into the habit of obeying us without delay, so that hopefully when they do surrender to the lordship of Jesus, they might find it a little bit easier to surrender to his lordship because they're already in that habit of obeying.
Yeah. It is so interesting to see how the way that we parent our kids just plays into their adulthood. And we talked a little bit about that yesterday, mm-hmm. but it really is setting them up for failure if we allow them. I love that you say, and I've used this too, that delayed obedience is disobedience, because yep. it's so true. If we allow them to disobey, and I know, you know, there are lots of moms who they'll let their kids go and go and go and go and go and go until they're finally, they don't even count to three, but they just wait till they're pushed over the edge. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it's, you know, a war and mom is just freaking out. And I told you to clean your room, or I told you to put the dishes away, or whatever, you know,
right.
And mom just comes completely unglued because she has allowed the disobedience over and over and over and over and over again until she blows up. And the kids then are like, when is mom going to blow? You know, when
right.
is she going to blow up?
That's
and
right.
that's hard for kids because they don't actually know how far they can push mom. And it depends on the day,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. And that goes back to habits. You know, that's teaching right. them the bad habit of delayed obedience or not obeying at all. And it causes right. confusion. And, you know, also as we consider our spiritual goals of training our children to be followers of Christ, you know, maybe we should ask ourselves before we begin that count of three, when it comes to teaching our children habits, spiritual habits even, maybe we should ask ourselves, do I want my child to be in the habit of obeying God the first time?
Right.
The second time?
Yeah.
Or the third time?
Yeah.
Habits.
Yeah. Yeah. And we need to be obeying him the first time as well in all things. And part of that is, you know what? Parenting the way that he tells us to parent
that's
in
right.
his word. I mean, that's, yeah. are we obeying him the right mm-hmm. way, or are we doing what's easy for us? And because
right.
sometimes we do what comes easiest. Okay. What is the last one?
The last one is reasoning with small children. And I'm talking about reasoning with I'm not talking about older kids here, where it some mature, respectful reasoning is certainly appropriate. I'm talking about reasoning with really young children. That's not wise to do that. You know, for example, mom may ask her 6-year-old, you know, honey, don't you want to come and eat lunch now? And the child says, oh, no thanks, mom. I'm playing with my cars. And then we come back with, but sweetie, your hot dog's going to get cold if you don't come and eat it now. That's okay, mom. I think I'd rather play with my cars. And then we say, and then we start throwing out, you know, some other bribes and threats and things like that. But if you'll come and eat now, I thought maybe we might have time to go to the park after lunch. So you see, instead of just simply telling her son in this scenario what the mom wanted and expecting prompt obedience, this mom is actually trying to talk her child into obeying. Mm. But parents who try to reason with their really young children normally end up frustrated. And in my experience, a lot of times even outwitted.
Yeah.
and then we wind up, like I said, resorting to a bribe or a threat in order to get that response we're after. Reasoning with young children in an attempt to get them to obey, that's another one of those things that causes confusion because it places them in a position that they are not mature or responsible enough to handle.
Right.
It basically erases that line of authority that God has placed between the parent and the child. And it brings that child up to a peer level with mom and dad. So we need to clearly instruct our children and expect obedience.
Yeah, good stuff. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Are you looking for a homeschool curriculum that goes beyond textbooks and truly engages your children in the joy of learning? Apologia's award-winning curriculum is written by homeschool parents to specifically meet your needs and captivate your students with hands-on activities and experiments that make learning unforgettable. With an easy-to-follow, open-and-go format, Apologia takes the stress out of planning and provides a simple roadmap that can easily be tailored to your family's needs. Explore live classes or self-paced courses designed to accommodate every student's unique learning style. Elevate your child's education, spark their curiosity, and nurture a lifelong love for learning with Apologia. Discover Apologia today at apologia.com. We are back with Ginger. All right. We've talked about all these things. We've talked about bribing, threatening, repeating instructions, appealing to emotions. I think that might be my favorite slash least favorite. I'm not sure. Counting to three, reasoning with small children. And these are all things that I think as we look at them, we know that none of these methods are beneficial to our kids, right?
Right.
But we also find that as parents, it's so easy to fall into these traps sometimes. And I think that's maybe partly just our sinful nature. Partly it's just easy. I don't know. Why do you think, and as you've observed and talked to so many parents over the years, why do you think it is so easy for us to fall into these traps in our parenting?
And not just talking to parents through the years. Like I said, I've fallen into these traps myself sometimes. Right. And I think it goes back to children and parents. We're all selfish by nature. We're selfish in everything, including our time and what we put our energy into. Doing the right thing usually takes a whole lot more time and effort than doing the quick thing.
Yeah.
So we have a natural tendency to go for those quick, easy fixes so that we can get back to our own agendas.
Yeah.
So basically, according to scripture, I say we're being dragged away from what God has called us to do and enticed by what we want to do. And actually, I shouldn't say that's what I say. That's God talks about that. James 1:14 says, but each person is tempted when they're dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. And, you know, I'm speaking to myself here as much as anyone else. I'm just as selfish as the next person by nature. But we are called to train our children in the ways of the Lord and to point them to their need for Jesus. We also have to remember that we need Jesus to help us do that.
Yeah.
So we need to cry out to God and seek Him in our weaknesses, because 1 Corinthians 12:10 assures us that when we are weak, He is strong. And so, you know, let me just reiterate, we've been talking about discipline mistakes for 3 days now, and the discipline mistakes we've talked about, again, they're ineffective because they manipulate the child's behavior to some extent, but they fail to reach the heart. But these methods are certainly very popular in our world today, which is why Colossians 2:8 tells us, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ.
Yeah.
You know, so the Bible says that the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. God's word is truth. Yeah. God's word is wisdom. So we need to make sure that the people we're listening to, the people who are encouraging us in our parenting, are depending on the life-giving truths of God's word to do it.
And we need to make sure that we are in God's word ourselves. You know, we talk about this all the time on the podcast. We cannot parent our, I mean, we can read all the books, and you've got so many good books on parenting and resources on biblical parenting, but the only authority is the authority of God's word. And if we're not in God's word on a regular basis ourselves, and studying it and knowing it, no book is going to be able to help us, because we need the Holy Spirit to help us. Just like our kids need the Holy Spirit to help them.
That's right.
We need the Holy Spirit to help us to be able to parent our kids well.
And yes, because we cannot look to the world. We live in a world now, Yvette, that defies God and His word at every point, including child training. The world tries to tell us how to parent our children, just like some of these methods that I just mentioned. Those are very popular in the world today.
Yeah.
But Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right. Mm-hmm. Some of these methods sound right. They sound good.
Yeah.
But the scripture says there's a way that seems right, but in the end, it leads to destruction. So the world exalts all of these experts and all of these books and tries to convince us that their methods are best. But according to 1 Corinthians 3:18, again, the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight.
Oh, good stuff. All right. We have just a couple minutes left. And in these last few minutes that we have, how would you tie this all up? I mean, how do we as parents just offer this, you know, heart-oriented approach for raising our kids? How do we avoid these things? And again, I mean, we just talked about, you know, being in God's word and knowing that, but like, maybe give us a plan. We need a checklist, Ginger. Yep. Give us the Ginger Hubbard checklist. How can we avoid doing these things, and how can we really be effective in really reaching the hearts of our kids and not just changing their behavior?
Yep. Well, I do offer what I call a three-step plan, and I'm not real big on plans, but it's biblical. And let me tell you why. Step one is heart probing questions. Mm-hmm. I like to start with the heart probing questions, because if you think about it, in all the stories in scriptures, when someone did something wrong, Jesus did not wave his finger in their face and say, this is what you did wrong, and this is what you should have done instead.
Right.
So often he used those heart probing questions. And in order for the people to answer those questions, they had to evaluate themselves, because mm-hmm. Jesus was a very skilled heart prober. He knew how to ask those questions in such a way that the people would have to take their focus off of the circumstances and situations going on around them and onto the sin in their own hearts. Yeah. So that is our goal with our kids. So that's step one, heart probing questions. For young kids, it can be as simple as, did you obey or did you disobey? Mm-hmm. Keep it a matter of obeying and disobeying. As they get older, you can use other heart probing questions that's in accordance with what's going on in their hearts in more specific ways. Mm-hmm. So the step one is ask heart probing questions. Then in Ephesians, chapter 4, we're instructed to put off our old selves and put on our new selves. Those verses say, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So step two is what to put off. That's what God's word says about that particular behavior and what it can lead to if it's continued. Yeah. And then step three is what to put on, how to replace what is wrong with what is right. And I think on Monday, Yvette, you mentioned my, I know you mentioned Don't Make Me Count to Three, but I also have a Wise Words for Moms chart. It's a very quick reference.
I have it right here for those watching the video.
She's got it handy. So that's like a little flip chart called Wise Words for Moms, where there's 22 different behaviors that mm-hmm. children struggle with. And I have them all listed in alphabetical order. And then I have this three-step plan that I just talked about listed right there on that chart, so that you can very easily access those three steps. I've already thought up two or three heart-probing questions. I've already looked up the scriptures for what to put off, what to put on, with all of these different behaviors like whining, lying, tattling, teasing, everything that I could possibly think of. I've given you this little three-step plan right at your fingertips.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of parents say it's helped them to not overcorrect, you know, because we have this tendency to launch into these long, drawn-out sermons, and our kids' eyes glaze over and they just stop listening. So this helps us to stay on course.
Yeah.
Approach it from a heart-oriented perspective, and then point them to the life-giving truths of God's word in ways that really should not take more than a minute or two, so they're not going to get exasperated. And that's our jobs, to reach their hearts, to point them to Christ and to the truths of God's word. So that little resource can help us do that. I kept mine hanging in my kitchen.
Yeah, me too.
And I used it as a quick reference flip chart when my sweet little angels grew horns and I was at a loss for words. So Yvette, for all of your Schoolhouse Rock listeners, if they want to check out that chart, it's only $5.
Yeah.
But if they want to go to my website, gingerhubbard.com, I'll give your listeners a 10% discount on the Wise Words for Moms chart. And if they will use the code parenting at gingerhubbard.com.
Okay. You guys go to it. I'm telling you, this was one of the most helpful things when my girls were little. And I did the same thing. I had it hanging in my kitchen cabinet. It kind of looks like a calendar. I mean, it's like calendar style, but you just look at it. And I would just tell my girls, you know, just go to your room for a few minutes. I'll be there when I'm ready. And I would look at, you know, whatever their infraction was and just walk through it with Ginger. And it was so very helpful. So, and of course your books, Don't Make Me Count to Three. I can't believe you just said that. And then you've got some new kids' books out. We're actually going to have you come back because we talked about discussing those this week, but she's got some amazing children's books that she recently wrote in the last couple of years about whining, lying, and teasing. And these books are fantastic. So we're going to have Ginger back soon to talk through those three specific behaviors and how to handle those with your kids. So thank you again, Ginger, for being with us this week. It is always such a pleasure and a joy to have you with me in the studio, even though you're in the studio in Alabama and I'm in Oklahoma. I feel like we're in the studio together. but thank you for your encouragement. You can find everything at her website, gingerhubbard.com. And again, use the code parenting to get 10% off, right? Is that correct?
Yep, that's right.
Okay, awesome. Thank you for doing that. We rarely offer discount codes to our audience, but there's one for you guys. Use it. And if nothing else, get the Wise Words for Moms. It is so helpful. So thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you have a great rest of your week. Stay tuned to the very end to hear a clip of what's coming up next on the podcast. And again, you can find everything at our website, schoolhouserocked.com. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you back here on Monday. Bye.
I think that many of us have had the same experience when we grew up in churches, Christian churches, that we didn't get a lot of actual Bible doctrine in our Sunday school programs growing up. Sometimes we got Bible stories, or we got character lessons or things right. like that.
Flannel boards.
Yes, right. And lots of games and sugar.
Right.
But we didn't get a lot of theology. We didn't get a lot of Bible doctrine. So first of all, a catechism is really just a question and answer method of teaching Bible doctrine. So we wanted to keep with the historic catechisms in terms of trying to provide sound biblical foundations and biblical doctrine, but we wanted to contemporize the phrasing and the verbiage. So it's not new in terms of concept. We've stayed faithful to the scripture and faithful to historic Christianity, but it's just more of a contemporary English.